Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night, October 31st, 2025. Happy Halloween, last day of October in the year 2025. 13 and a half minutes past the hour. We'll be on the air tonight, 8 until 10 p.m., and then Matt will be on with his show from 10:15 till 11 tonight. And for the first hour here, we want to talk about something that is right around the corner. That is Election Day, this coming Tuesday. In Marion, we have two contested races other than the Charter City question that will be on the ballot. We have the 6th Ward City Council race between incumbent Ron Prater and Anthony Azaria for the Democratic Party. And then for City Council, we have an at-large race in which three people will be elected. The candidates are incumbent Aaron Rollins, incumbent Bill Dichtel, Danny Clark, Scott Kreider for the Democratic Party, and Kent Holleran, who is a write-in candidate for City Council at large. And we are so glad to have Kent in the studio with us for the first hour tonight. Kent, thanks so much for coming in. Happy Halloween.
Well, thank you, and happy Halloween to you as well.
Kent, first thing here, you're a write-in candidate. Why go that route? How did that happen?
Well, I am a volunteer poll worker, and I was just shocked when I saw that there were no contested races at all in the primary. I mean, it was, there you go, put the check here or don't, it doesn't matter. And I just simply said, you know what, there is something I can do about it. I can give people a choice. And so since I missed the primary, the only way I could get on was to do as a write-in candidate. And so that's what we did.
Now, a write-in candidate, people will actually have to write your name in the ballot. Is that possible? Do you think you can win as a write-in?
I think it's possible, but it is a long shot, I will admit. Let's call it a dark horse candidacy. They do actually, what you'll find is on the ballot when you go to cast your vote, you'll find a little box there with a line, and what you'll have to do is you click the box, and then you have to put my name in. Now, each polling place will have a piece of paper that has my name, so if you need to know how to spell it, just as you walk in, they have it when they check you in, you can just ask to see the write-in ballot, and that's what they'll provide you.
Now, what party would you say you associate with?
I am definitely a Democrat.
Okay, a Democrat. Why a Democrat? What makes you a Democrat?
I am progressive by nature. I'm also part of my profession. I'm an environmental engineer, and with that becomes activism a little bit, especially in this day and age. And so I definitely, for the most part, my policies and my preferences definitely lean toward the Democratic Party.
Locally, what does being a Democrat mean in Marion, Ohio?
Well, a Democrat in Marion, Ohio, as you can tell by the current ballot and the limited Democrats that are running, we only have three candidates, and it's pretty lonely here in Marion, at least from the ballot standpoint. But, you know, we're not the enemy. We have different viewpoints, and I feel like I'm coming to this town. I am, most people who know me know I have not been here too long. I think we've only been here, my wife and I have moved here about 3 years ago. But that doesn't mean I love the city any less. In fact, we fell in love with the city. We moved up here, we got a nice house, we met some friends, and we became active. And what I do bring is I have lived in many cities that are charter cities, and I bring that experience. I have, as an engineer, I have stood in front of city councils, and actually as a town engineer, I've actually sat with some of the town councils, and this was in Indiana. They don't have villages in Indiana, they have towns. And so I have some political experience, and I've experienced many ways of doing things. Some of them well, some of them I would change.
What do you make of our current city council?
I think our current city council, in my opinion, our current city council has been almost self-isolating from the people. I almost feel I've been to a couple city council meetings, and I don't know if there's no input from the city from residents, or there's limited input. But what I see is we have a lot of problems in this city, and I don't want to bore your listeners by going over them again. But we have a lot of problems. But the thing is the city council is there to serve the community. It's not there to rule the community. Their job is to serve everyone, serve the community, serve the residents, serve the businesses. And the best way to do that is being more open. And if elected, and even if I'm not elected, I will be working with neighborhood associations. I want to hear from the neighborhoods what they need. I don't want to come in and I don't have these great, glorious ideas that I'm all-knowing. I want to learn from the people. I want to learn what their challenges are, the neighborhood's challenges. One neighborhood's challenge is not the same as another.
What do you make of the current administration, Mayor Collins and his group?
Again, I see they almost have, I don't want to call it elitist, but it almost feels like, you know, they're in charge and, you know, they'll do what they want. And that, to me, feels a little bit opposite of where you should be as an elected servant of the people.
Now, we had an interesting week last week, or this week, I guess I should say. On Monday, Mayor Collins stood up at the city council meeting and read a letter, which I have here. I want to read it. It's a short letter, okay. But it's certainly before the election. It's a big deal. This was sent to David Thompson, Auditor of State Office, and it's dated October the 28th, which was Tuesday. Due to inaccuracies in our current financial system as of September 30th, 2025, the inaccuracies being the result of the ongoing failure to properly complete the very important process of reconciliation, the true and accurate bank-to-book balances remain uncertain. As a direct result, several funds appear to have deficit balances, which, if accurate, could be determined to be significant. As a result, the City of Marion would like to formally request a fiscal caution analysis and projection. Thank you for your consideration in this matter, Bill Collins, Mayor of the City of Marion. Now, this could end up with the City of Marion being put on fiscal caution, fiscal watch, or fiscal, I believe, emergency is what it is. In any event, Third Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber, who's been on council for a long time now, was a guest on Tuesday morning, and he said that we surely qualify for fiscal watch at this point. So a week before the election, what do you make of this from the mayor?
Well, it's an eye-opener. It's telling you that whatever's happening, and again, as the few years I've been here, and we've talked a little bit before this, is we have a single party ruling the city. And I use the term ruling. They're not leading. They seem to be kind of dictating what goes on and how things are done. And unfortunately, and I'm just familiar through the newspaper and a few times I've been to council, I understand that our treasurer and our auditor are, to put it bluntly, not doing their job. The job that they were elected for. And that has to change. And I'm to be on fiscal watch, from what I'm reading and what I understand, fiscal watch is probably being over optimistic. I think it's more than that. If you're talking about you're running multiple accounts or running in a deficit, that's not being on a watch. That might be something a little more strict. And unfortunately, I'm not sure what would happen in the event that the state just shows up and decides they're in charge, but we certainly don't want that to happen.
Well, it's interesting that the mayor asked for this, because I don't think this would be something that he would want to do, and when I talked to Jason on the air on Tuesday, he did not think the mayor did this of his own free will. He thinks it comes as a result of an audit, and I think the line that's so telling in this is this line: as a direct result of several funds appear to have deficit balances. Now, if we've got deficit balances in our funds, that can't happen in the city. You can't do a budget for next year if you've got funds that have deficit balances and we don't even know what those funds are? Are they salaries? Are they enterprise funds? Nobody knows because that hasn't come out yet. So this is a big question mark right before the election.
Oh, absolutely. And it's at least it's come before the election. I'm a little surprised he didn't wait till after the election. But give him credit that he's doing the right thing by at least talking to the state and trying to straighten it out. But you're absolutely right. We don't know what funds are short. We don't know what services are going to be minimized or possibly cut. I mean, the city has done a great job in many respects. The city cleanup was a fantastic success. I mean, in our neighborhood alone, it made a world of difference. But if that's the kind of service that we can't afford anymore, that's going to be a great tragic loss for the people.
You know, one of the big questions surrounding this mayor, who wrote this letter, sent this letter down to Columbus on Tuesday, he's been in there just about 2 years now. And he had no legislative government experience when he took the job. He'd never been a councilman. He'd been a police chief. He'd been a deputy sheriff. And one of the things that has been interesting, since he came to office, he asked and got a budget director, I think an $80,000 position that the city had not had before. He asked for a grant writer, which the city had not had. I think that's a $65,000 a year job. He's asking now for an economic development director, which the city has not had. I believe that's an $80,000 position for the city. He expanded the transit service, which had always operated at a loss. He expanded it to the night, which now has been that way for a year. The transit director, by the way, resigned the same day that this letter came out. Two other city directors have either retired or resigned, depending on what you believe, long-term in the last month, along with the transit director who resigned this day. And we had a $10,000 party in the park back in August that the city paid $10,000 out of the city for. So all these financial things have happened in 10 years, and now we learn that there are deficit balances. And most of those things passed by the city council, that the mayor, not to mention the Love Your City rollout with the bus wraps and the stickers and the signs and everything. Yeah. All this money spent, and now people go, wait a second. Now we're operating at a deficit.
Well, and that's kind of why I'm a little concerned about the charter. To me, it feels a little bit like, okay, we screwed up, but we're going to kick the can down the road. And the challenge with the charter, and there are many different forms of a charter government. And I had mentioned the one at the candidates' night. The one that scares me the most would be the strong mayor form of government. Now, the strong mayor form of government, I equate it to the closest thing we have in modern America to a medieval fiefdom, because the mayor or whatever you want to call the chief executive has all power. Now, you get a good mayor in there, you get somebody who's concerned and considerate, no problem. But that's not always the case.
But this is an important quote. When all this financial information was coming out, the mayor was starting to take some heat on social media and in the news and other places. And the 4th Ward City Council person, Twyla Lang, who's also the finance chair, head of the finance committee, said, "You realize you are talking about the administration that preceded us. Mayor Collins and the current council inherited this mess. We are trying to fix it."
Okay, well, if that's the case, how is it that we've hired all these new people, increased, like you said, going back through the list you mentioned, the Love Your City stickers and the $10,000 party in the park and the new positions we kept adding to the council? You know, you've got to balance your books. And if you're adding, and that's the other thing that bothers me, especially about the charter, when you're adding people, you've got to find money for it. They just don't work for free. And I'm not saying they didn't inherit some of these issues, but I'm sorry, based on everything you've just mentioned, some of this has got to go on Mayor Collins' shoulders.
Well, I think one of the big questions that everybody has had this week is, listen, the auditor before this one resigned their position because there were problems in the auditor's office. The current auditor has been asked to resign. There's been no confidence votes taken. The treasurer has certainly come under fire, is not running for re-election now because of it. But this was all known when Mayor Collins took office. The books in Marion have not been reconciled since 2019. That was the last year the books were reconciled. Mayor Collins took office in January of 24. So if you didn't know if the books were reconciled and you didn't know what funds were available and you had no confidence in any of the financial people in town, why would you have an agenda that aggressive financially?
Absolutely. You know, it's, what was it, the old running joke was, is you know, when the man goes to the bank and he's they're complaining that he's got an overdraft, and he says, well, I can still write checks, I still have plenty of them. You know, it's almost like, well, we've got checks, let's write checks for it. Well, we don't have infinite you know, financial resources. And if Mayor Collins, as you said, came in with the knowledge that we haven't reconciled our books, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to put the brakes on any hiring. You've got to possibly, you know, you've got to work. Maybe that's when you get an outside entity in. Maybe if you have to hire someone, again, that's going to cost money. But again, if you've got to balance the books. And if this was a problem he inherited, at least until very recently, he apparently has done very little about it.
Now, Charter City, this is an interesting concept. We don't know if it's going to pass or not. Mayor Collins is on or up for Charter Commission. What do you make of that? Did not show up to candidates night.
I don't believe that anybody who's sitting on any sitting, either councilman or the mayor, I don't believe they should be part of this discussion. Because again, if you're asking for you give the people the right to vote on this and give them the right to pull people in and vote for the citizens to go through the charter system. And believe me, this is not something that's going to be quick. And you're talking about, okay, the election is this Tuesday. All right. So we'll know if we're doing a charter city. And if we are, we'll know who's on it. They won't get started until January. You know, you can say, oh, they're starting right away. No, they're not. You got Thanksgiving, you've got Christmas, and you've got New Year's. You're not going to get any work done until January. And then that work has to be done by June or July because it's got to be reviewed, and you got to give people the right to see it. Part of the problem I have with the charter is where's the average voter learn about it? I was at the meeting where they said, well, we think the people should decide. I'm all for the people deciding. But if you're asking the people to decide, shouldn't you provide people the resources easy for them to get? Not, you know, they had the man talk at the candidates night, which I was going to say that was probably the lowest low tech that they can get. But we're talking about anybody, you know, there are people that can't make these kind of meetings. There are people that can't go to the council meetings. And there are people in this town that don't subscribe to the Marion Star. So how do they get this information? There could be something as simple as a few links provided on on the city's website. It wouldn't be that hard to do. You know, the city can spend, you know, all this money for the Love Your City campaign and everything else, and yet they're saying, oh, we want the people to decide. Now you're talking about the majority of the people are going to be voting on something they have no idea what it is and what it could be. And the biggest challenge is, like, if you're going with a council city manager form of government, city manager, you're talking about, we were talking about 80,000 plus. No, city manager, you're looking at probably 120,000 to 130,000 starting. And you're not looking at someone in town because you're going to have to look for someone with some of the managerial credentials because you're hiring this person. They're not going to be elected. They're going to be hired. And it's like, okay, how are we going to pay for that?
Well, that's an interesting thing when it comes to the charter city, because we do know that the charter city, if it is passed, will have to hire a council. That's going to cost money. We'll have to mail that charter to everybody next year. Absolutely. To make sure they take a look at it, every city registered voter. And if the city is on financial watch at that point and it is operating, how do you in the world do you pay for that? So how in the world could anybody at this time say that, yes, charter is the way to go? That's going to fix the problem.
You got me. I mean, a charter city is not, it's not magical fairy dust. I mean, charter cities, they take money to run and a lot of money to set up. You just don't, you know, you, like I said, you just don't wave a magic wand and next thing you know, you're all good and, you know, and our financial problem is solved. Absolutely not. The charter city has some advantages depending on the form that they come up with. But the simple fact is I don't know how we are going to meet the obligations that the city has when forming a charter. As you mentioned, you've got a mail, and a charter is not going to, this isn't just a single sheet of paper coming out. This is going to be probably more than just a single stamp, which apparently the city can't afford a single stamp.
Even if you would want a charter, is it possible in good conscience to vote for it when you know the mayor's telling you, who is running for charter commission, that the city has deficit balances?
Yeah, it's not the answer.
Well, it's interesting. And then when you look at that charter commission, it's going to be 15 people if it does happen. Mm-hmm. 23 are running. You've got the mayor. You've got the law director. You've got the chief of police. You've got former and current police officers. You've got people who worked in the sheriff's office. You have got children of people who are current city council members. You have got the former auditor who resigned during this whole position. Those are some of the candidates you have running for charter commission.
And again, if you're looking for new ideas, I would suggest not voting for the candidates that have the old ideas. I mean, again, this felt like when I heard them vote for it, and oh, we've been thinking about this for a long time, and that's all well, but it's like, if we don't have the money, you can't just treat this as a way to kick the can. This is, and it's not a, you know, if it passes and they get a good balance of new people, I mean, I'm sure Mayor Collins has got name recognition and a lot of people who, well, let's, to quote Winston Churchill, the best argument against democracy is a 5-minute conversation with the average voter. And if the average voter doesn't know what this is all about, will they vote yes? Will they vote no? If it passes, though, chances are you're going to get a lot of the same names that you mentioned because they've got name recognition. And that's something I hope doesn't happen.
I think you said you had lived in charter cities.
Correct.
Are they good? Is it a good thing?
It depends on the system. And it depends on the people. Now, there are some charter cities I've lived in that there was one that was a strong mayor form of government, which the mayor, thank heavens, was a decent man. And he did work with council, he didn't take it over. But he was the one that told me that, oh, you've got a lot of power in this position with a strong mayor form of government. City of Kent, where I used to live, yes, Kent, used to live in Kent. But the city of Kent, they have a city council mayor form, or city council city manager form of government, which essentially the city manager reports to council and then they vote and accordingly. And now that is a form of government that is not quite as quick. In other words, you don't get a lot of quick decisions because there's a lot of deliberation, as there should be. When you're talking about, you know, the city finances, you're talking about city services, you don't just want to, you know, run into it. In fact, when I was living in Kent, they had a referendum to change to a strong mayor form of government. And the four most recent mayors in the city of Kent at the time, all four of them were against it because of the reasons I pointed out. It is very abusable to have a strong mayor form of government.
Well, the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, who lives here in Marion, she was on the program this morning and says she is absolutely against a charter city. And the reason being given for a lot of this is, out of the 65,000 people who live in Marion County, 35,000, 34,000 who live in the city, that we cannot find a good auditor. We cannot find a good treasurer to run for office. And Mary Ellen thinks that's a ridiculous statement to make. Is it a ridiculous statement to make that we can't find anybody in Marion, Ohio to be a good auditor or a good treasurer?
I think I agree with her because what I'll do is I will throw it to the parties. Okay, we have a Republican Party here in town. We have a Democratic Party. Somebody start doing their job. Start looking into people, asking around. Do we have nobody here who's a CPA in this city? I mean, do we not have somebody who has some background in, you know, whether you're a treasurer of your church council or whether you've done that? It's not rocket science. And I agree with the point. I cannot understand how we can't find two qualified candidates to run for treasurer.
Now, another question that's thrown up there is, and I believe the treasurer is part-time, and I believe the auditor makes something somewhere in the neighborhood of $60,000 to $70,000 a year, that's not enough money for a competent person to do those jobs. You think that's enough for a competent person to do those jobs in Marion, Ohio?
I really can't. I'll tell you the truth, you'd have to ask somebody who would be considering that job. To be honest with you, in some of the cities, I know that the $60,000 wouldn't fly. I mean, we have, you can look at our city. We've got fairly low cost of living. We've got a lot of benefits to the city. But the simple fact is that there are a lot of people that if they're working as a CPA or they're working on their own, they're probably earning more than $60,000. So if you're asking them to give up their day job, if you will, to give up their job to work full-time for the city, are they going to have to do it at a loss? And that may be one of the reasons why there is some hesitancy. Does that mean we have to up the price? Well, if we're going the charter route, yes, because the charter route, you're probably going to end up bringing people in from out of the city, possibly even out of the county.
Should these positions be elected positions, auditor and treasurer?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. What I will tell you this is that it wouldn't be a problem if we could put on some sort of requirement. For example, to run as a county engineer, the candidate has to have both a professional engineering license and a professional land surveyor's license. I know I tried to run for a county engineer a few years ago, and I don't have a professional land surveyor's license. So there should be a way, and again, what I've been told and what I've heard is that, well, that's the part of the problem, is because anybody who files the paperwork can can run for either one of those offices. Well, that's where the party can come in, and the parties, both of them, can come in and just outright say, yes, that we support this person, or no, we don't. And the one thing that you can do, now this is a story that you probably will never hear in our politics. And this is going back when I was living in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Fort Wayne, Indiana was the first time that I thought I was going to have a real hard choice between who was going to be the mayor. The candidate for the Democrats was a man named Tom Henry. Tom was a second ward councilman, and I'd worked with Tom Henry, and I had a lot of respect for Tom Henry. And I thought he'd make a good mayor. On the other side, what we'll call the leading candidate was a county commissioner, Nelson Peters. I had worked with Nelson Peters. I had a lot of respect for him, and I was in a quandary. Which one of these two men who I respect was I going to vote for? Well, the problem is Nelson Peters didn't really take his primary too seriously, and a dark horse, I'm not going to mention his name, but he was an architect, won the Republican nomination. And to cut to the chase, the Republican Party of Allen County, which is where Fort Wayne is, backed Tom Henry, the Democrat. They did not back their own candidate because their own candidate was unqualified. That is something that can happen. And if we can get parties to work together, I mean, we all want a better America. We want a better community. We want a better county, you name it. Why can't we work together on this? Why is it that it's like, oh, they're the enemy? We're not enemies. Okay, whether we're Democrats, Republicans, or independents, we are all Americans. We are not the enemy. And this is something that the parties and the individuals have to start thinking about, especially if we're whether we go charter or not. The city needs help, and the city needs to not only treat everyone with respect, but they have to open it up and get more input from the community. Again, if we can't find two qualified candidates to run for treasurer, I agree, that is insane. In a community this size, it's incredible.
Do you think, you told the story there about the mayors of Fort Wayne, being here during the term of Mayor Collins, do you consider him a competent, good mayor? Qualified?
Well, he's qualified, yes, but he's made, a lot of the spending that I saw, and again, but when I came here, town seemed reasonable, it was clean, it had good services, but then when I find out, oh wait, he came in, as you said, and that quote said, oh, he came in knowing we had some financial challenges. So the first thing you do is you put the brakes on. You say, okay, ladies and gentlemen, we got to cut down to the bare bones, and we got to figure out why we're running deficits. Instead, he spent, and I'm not going to repeat what you were saying, but he spent a lot of money on town festivals, and he spent money on this Love Your City campaign, and we've spent money that we don't have, and now we have three retirees this week, one resignation and two retirees. And he said, well, we're not going to fill those positions. Okay, well, why were they there in the first place if we're not going to bother to fill them? And I'm sorry, you're talking about the one person that retired was in charge of the sewage plant and the roads. Okay, we're going to just let that slide. Infrastructure is the key to everything. If we want to develop this community and we want this community to thrive, it starts with infrastructure.
Do you buy that from the mayor, that these three directors, by retirement or resignation, in the last month, all just happened to go, and he says he's not going to fill them. Coincidence that would happen?
Absolutely not.
So you think he's being dishonest?
Yes, I think in this case he is. I don't believe that all of a sudden they all decide to retire or resign at this point. Two is a coincidence. Three seems a little more contrived.
Well, what reason did he give for not wanting to fill any of these positions?
I just read this in the newspaper, and unfortunately I just scanned it. But as far as I know, I think his reasoning is to save the money. But again, if you're talking about, okay, did he not hire the transit director?
Yep.
Okay, so if we don't need that position now, why did we need it when she was hired? Again, it goes back to, if he knew and if the council knew that we had these challenges, and you know, again, running a deficit in some of your accounts is more than just a challenge for a city. That's something you've got to fix.
Well, some people have said, and it's speculation, we don't know for sure, that the reason he's not going to fill these positions and the reason he wanted to get rid of these people is he wants to fill his economic development position, and he can free up the funds by doing that.
Well, he won't. If we don't have any funds to free up, that I think that's a reach, to say the least. I mean, it's speculation. I get that, but at this point, before we make any new hires, I think we ought to get our books balanced. I think we need to find out where the problem lies. Now, again, we're gonna, you may end up having to hire, and again, how we do it, I don't know. But once if the state comes in with their recommendations, I don't really know. I've never been in a city where they turned to the state and said, hey, we're out of money, what can we, you know, you can you help us? We should have been able to help ourselves. And in 2 years, I'm afraid the mayor could have done a lot more than he has done to address this situation.
Well, that's been another question. Why 1 year and 10 months into your term now are you doing this? Why not do this on day one?
Exactly. That's my question to begin with. You mentioned all the hires, all his new hires, and then literally one of them just resigned, and he's like, oh, okay, that's fine. We won't backfill, or we'll just promote someone from within. Well, if you're going to promote someone from within, is that someone from within, is that person going to get that salary and get that raise? Or is that person going to be forced to do the job at their whatever their current pay is?
Why do the Democrats not do well in Marion? They have. I mean, the last mayor was a Democratic mayor for 16 years, Scott Schertzer. We have had Democratic council people. This is not unheard of. We've had Democrats who were county commissioners. We have had a Democratic sheriff for 16 years. No more. We had a Democratic auditor for I don't know how long. We had a Democratic treasurer for I don't know how long. No more. What happened? What has happened to the Democratic Party?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't been in town long enough to know. I literally came into town, and the first thing I saw is, why aren't the Democrats doing well? Well, it helps to get someone on the ballot. And we literally only have three people on the ballot. Two of us are running for council at large, and of course, you mentioned Anthony Azzara, who's running for the 6th Ward. Where, you know, you mean you can't find, you never mind, you can't find a treasurer and you can't find an auditor to run as a Democrat. You're not finding anybody to run. And I don't know what, I don't know if it's the party leaders. I don't know if it's the party system. I do know that the Democratic Party in Ohio has been, I don't want to say it's rudderless, but it pretty much is. The last director, I think she resigned about a year ago, and I don't know who the new one is. I've never met the person. So the Democratic Party, even on the national level, is kind of, it's like, okay, who's in charge here? And that kind of, it kind of trickles down to the local level. And especially when you're here, I mean, in the state of Ohio, I want to know why, like in the last gubernatorial election, I mean, Why weren't we talking about the corruption that was going on between the $60,000 First Energy bribe and all that scandal? The Democrats never mentioned it. They're trying to play nice. It's like, come on, guys, you're bringing a covered dish to a gunfight.
Well, what do you make of Vivek Ramaswamy?
Oh.
Well, we know he'll be the Republican candidate for governor coming up in Ohio.
I have no use for the man.
Why?
Just about anything I've heard him say is a polar opposite of what I believe.
Amy Acton.
Amy Acton is, I don't see her as a very strong candidate. Now, if it's between her and Vivek Ramaswamy, I'll definitely vote for Amy Acton. But I don't see her being a strong, you know, punch and be punched type candidate. I see her too. She seems like too nice a person.
And, you know, this has been a question in the Democratic Party. Where are the punchers locally? Where is the person that's going to say, Mayor, you did this wrong? Who's going to take a shot at a city council person? A lot of people feel the Democratic Party has become way too nice with everything that's going on here in Marion, and they don't take those shots at their opponents.
I would agree with that. Absolutely. Again, it's even worse here in Marion is because we're not even running for office. It's one thing to wag your finger and to point and say, "Oh, you're doing a bad job," whether he is or not. It's one thing to disagree with whether it's the council or the mayor. It's another thing not to run against them. If you've got problems with the city council, if you've got problems with the mayor or any of the other offices that we're talking about, run against them and run hard. And, you know, again, I threw my hat in the ring and, you know, whether if I get elected or not, you know what? I'll be back.
Well, would you ever run for mayor?
I would like to have a little more time in town and meet a lot more people before I run for mayor. Would I? Yes.
Well, 2 years.
I'm working on it.
There you go. If you are elected to council, would you run for mayor?
I think I would stay on council for at least a term or two. But it wouldn't be out of, it wouldn't, I would just have to, if, again, if the Democrats aren't going to run anybody.
If the Democrats, well, the last time around, the Democrats didn't run anybody, and somebody stepped in, who was, I think, the oldest person who had ever run for mayor in Marion, had never held public office in Marion, and that was their candidate, and I believe he filed the last day you could file to run for office. So that's essentially what happened last time when Bill Collins was elected.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not gonna commit to it now, but again, I'm worrying about the election here on this Tuesday.
Let's talk about the people you're running against. Aaron Rollins is the only incumbent there. He's a Republican, but says he's an libertarian, not a Republican. We've got Bill Dichtel, who was just appointed to fill a position.
Yes.
He's there, Republican. Danny Clark, running as a Republican, and Scott Kreider, Democrat. What do you make of that bunch? What sticks out to you there?
Well, what sticks out is, again, we only have the one Democrat running other than myself. And again, as a write-in, I know that's it's a bit of a dark horse. All three of them, and we, as we talked about at the candidates' night, we have more in common than disagreement. We all want a strong government. We all want a strong city. But I feel like we need to be much more out there talking with the people, whether we go, and I'm willing to do this. I will commit to this right now, is I will go visit neighborhood associations, I'll hopefully get invites. If I'm elected, I will certainly make sure I'm checking. And I think one of the questions at the candidates' night is, will you respond within 24 hours? I'll respond. I might not be able to give you the answer, but I will certainly say, I thank you for your message. I will look into it. I'll get back to you. It's a challenge if a question's a simple one, you know, you can answer quickly. But that's how I want to be. I want to be there to serve the people. I'm not there to dictate. And I want to make sure that what I hear is what the people want.
Our other race on Tuesday will be the 6th Ward race, Anthony Azaria, Ron Prater. How do you feel about that one?
I think Anthony is a solid, solid candidate. I think he is really sharp. I think he knows the city. He knows his ward. And I think he would make a fine, an excellent city councilman. All I know about Ron Prater, the couple times I've been there, he's mainly just seconded a lot of motions and gone on. And Ron wasn't at the candidates' night because I think he was just got out of surgery.
Yeah, that's what I think was. Yeah,
yeah.
Does anybody at council stick? We've heard the comments from Twyla Lang tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Barr is there. Jason Schauber, Ayers Ratliff, Thaddeus Smith. Rob Smith, anything from that group stick out to you or at you? And we have a caller. I want you to put on the headset here. This one, I believe. Yep, we have the right ones. All right, caller, you're on with Ken Holleran. Go ahead.
Yeah, my ballot, I didn't see where there was a place for a write-in candidate. Plus, I've never heard of you before. You got any yard signs? I've never heard you on WWGH. This is kind of late in the game to, you know, be getting something out there about you.
Well, thank you for the call, and I do appreciate your point. I did vote, and I did find the box. I'm sorry that you didn't find it on your ballot.
Well, maybe I overlooked it because I didn't know, you know, had no reason to want to write a candidate in, but I mean, you're impressing me here. I wish I would have known about you before.
Well, I appreciate your call. And unfortunately, what happened was the moment I applied for and I turned in my paperwork to apply for my candidacy, my wife lost her job. And so we didn't have the money for signs or anything. And unfortunately, she has a new job now. And she just started working a couple weeks ago. So she's really good, but unfortunately what that did for us is that caused we didn't have the funds to go out and buy signs, and unfortunately it pushed it to the point that when we finally did have the money, it was too late to get them.
But you like what you're hearing, caller.
Yeah, if you don't win this time, get in there again. I really like what I'm hearing.
Well, to quote,
you sound very intelligent.
Well, thank you, sir. And to tell you the truth, win or lose, to quote Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back.
There you go.
Okay, I'll be here waiting on you.
Hey, there you go.
Thank you.
That's a good sign. Now, tomorrow, People are going to lose their SNAP benefits all around the country, and what we're talking here in Marion, they're going to lose them in Marion. Now, Governor DeWine did sign something, an executive order. We're not really sure yet how this is going to work. What we know, it was for $25 million. We know $7 million will go to food banks. $18 million will go to emergency relief funds. We're not quite sure yet how that will be distributed, because the total amount for November that was lost was over $260 million, and he's giving $18. We're not really sure how that's going to work, but a lot of people happy that Governor DeWine did something. With no, and $7 million to the food bank certainly will help.
It will help, yes.
But how do you think this month is going to play out, and what do you make of the government shutdown day 31?
Well, government shutdown day 31. I'm very tired of hearing about, of course, Speaker Johnson and President Trump are saying, oh, it's a Democratic shutdown, and. I'm sorry, on this one, I have to call BS, because to be perfectly frank, the Democrats are the minority party in both houses of Congress. They're not in the White House, and they're also, the liberal justices are the minority in the Supreme Court. If the Republicans wanted to reopen the government, all they have to sit down and negotiate. I don't know why that's a scary thought to them. And certainly between the loss of the SNAP, which people need this. This is not, free handouts for
and
people.
WIC. People should know that.
Oh, WIC, absolutely. The women, infant, child vouchers. There are people that need this help. Maybe not for long, but they need the help. And unfortunately, we don't seem to have, we don't seem to have a caring leaders who understand this. And so I do applaud Governor DeWine's attempt, albeit, as you mentioned, it was pretty vague as to where all this, okay, we got 7 million going to food banks, absolutely. And hopefully, my wife and I and many others here in town, this is a very generous community. We have donated to food banks. We have donated to places that serve the homeless and the needy. But we've got to be more conscious, and our government has to work for the people. Again, this goes all the way up to the nation.
60 seconds. What are your thoughts on Donald Trump? President Trump.
Well, I've heard of him, yes.
Yeah. Want to make sure I got the title right.
My feelings about the president is that he is violating the U.S. Constitution on numerous occasions. He is is he running for a third term or not? We don't know. He keeps waffling on that. Now, the Constitution clearly states you get two full terms, that's it. It doesn't say anything about, they got to be concurrent or anything like that. So, he's violated that a lot of the times, where he's just saying, he's saying, we're going to cut this program. Excuse me, that program was funded by Congress. You don't have the right just to say, we're not going to do that anymore. Unfortunately, Congress is just, I don't know why they treat him with these kid gloves. And again, I have nothing good to say about Donald Trump.
Quickly here, Charter City, yes or no on Tuesday?
No. Not vote for the Charter City, but make sure you do put your votes in. Even if you vote no, make sure you vote for the people who are going to be representing you on the commission.
Caller, 30 seconds, go ahead.
Yeah, did you see where Mike Johnson, the judge ruled that he has to sign in that member, I think, in Arizona or whatever?
I didn't see that. I know we were out passing Halloween candy out, but who knows what will happen there?
Give him so many days to do it.
Hey, thank you. And we'll have another hour here with Matt tonight, and Matt will be on. But, Kent, the pitch to vote for you on Tuesday. Let the voters hear it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to help bring government to you. Our government, our city council, our mayor, everybody are here to serve the community. It's not the other way around, and that's the way I feel how it's been run since I've been here. I've got a lot of experience with other forms of cities and other forms of government, and I hope to bring that here, but what I'm the most important thing I want to bring to council is your opinions and your viewpoints.
Ken Holleran has been the guest, City Council at Large candidate, this Tuesday, write-in candidate. Remember, you got to write it in. And on the electronic voting machine, you punch the ballot, and then you type it in.
And you type it in.
Type it in. All right, Ken Holleran, that's coming up Tuesday on election night. Kent, thanks for coming in. Happy Halloween.
Thank you, and happy Halloween to you as well.
We'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Next person that you really like and appreciate and want to work a relationship with is walking into that room. So it's like a